good morning and welcome to Christ Today. And today I'm so very happy to have Pastor Lloyd Tremaine with us. And he is just a wonderful man involved with the community, most particularly in Paradise, California. And he interacts so widely with the community with all sorts of compassionate ways. Pastor Lloyd Tremaine, welcome to Christ Today. So glad to have you on here today.
Thank you, John. It's my privilege to be able to be here with you, to be able to realize that that relationship God has put together in us with each other, helping each other, encouraging each other, blessing each other, is able to be spread across the waves as well as across our hearts.
Amen to that. And isn't it amazing how we have interaction with our community, with people who are in need, and people who just plain love God? And then there's people who we want to share Christ with.
Absolutely.
And we have that opportunity. That's one of the things I love about what you do, because you interact with people throughout the community, and especially when they're in needful places, like in the hospital or in a interaction with some authority, and you're there to provide comfort and an opportunity for the relationship with God.
All the time.
Through Jesus
Christ. It's because
Christ.
God knows exactly what's going on in people's hearts, and he pulls us together and draws us into those places where when we're listening and we're responding to him, he can direct our paths. I'm really glad to be able to be with you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And I am so very joyful myself. And when you hear things going on with our neighbors or community, we have the opportunity to introduce Christ into the conversation. How do you do that when you interact with people in a difficult situation?
You know, when I get up in the morning, I spend time with God. I don't just think about it. I literally spend quality time with him right away.
Yes.
Getting up and doing a bunch of things is just a daily routine. But bringing God into the situation before we even start the day is what helps me to go the direction that he has for the day. So when I say little things like, I can hardly wait to see what God's going to do today, it's because I already have that relationship inside, yes, connecting with God and able to listen to him and know which way he's pointing me.
That's right. And I recognize that you are a pastor in Paradise.
That's
and
true.
So some people hearing this might say to themselves, well, Pastor Lloyd Tremaine is a pastor, so of course he would do it. But everyone can have that relationship.
Absolutely.
Each one of us. And so we can invite Christ into the day. And what a good thing to do.
Amen. That is something that God actually wants for us to do. It's not just for pastors or priests or kings. It's really, honestly, for all. When Jesus died for the sins of the world, he died for all. He wanted to pay for it all. The reason he did that is because he wanted us to enter into a relationship with him. If he hadn't died for the sins of all, it would show that he only had a heart for a few people. But truly and honestly, Jesus died for the sins of all the world, paid the, yes, penalty for all of those things, so that we all could enter into a relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful he provided that way for me, just like he provided that way for you.
Yes. Oh, that's great. Mm-hmm. And what does it take to have that relationship that we can have? All we do is say yes. No, you tell me.
Well, it's very simple, because it starts off by admitting that you're a sinner, and every one of us can definitely admit that we're sinners. There is, yeah, not one person who has ever lived on this earth outside of Jesus himself, God's Son,
that's right,
who has ever sinned. For all have sinned, it says in Romans, Paul, mm-hmm, wrote, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have all chosen to go our own way, and it's not good way. We've chosen to do things that are opposed to him. We have chosen to reject him and stay away from a relationship with him. We've chosen to do things our own way, to be our own boss, because we want things to feel good to us. And people will just choose to do whatever it is that makes them feel good, feel special, feel as if it's right for them. And you hear that in our world all the time, people talking about, oh, it feels right to me, so therefore it must be good for me. It might not be good for you, but it's good for me. And that's a misconception of what God did when he created the earth. He created this world so that we all could know him and enjoy him. That was a purpose of his from the very beginning. So I begin by admitting that I'm a sinner. I hope you've admitted that, because it's true, we are all sinners.
Yeah.
And once we choose to admit that, then we have to say, since I'm a sinner, what am I going to do with this stuff that I have in my life that is opposed to God and his ways? Well, I want to turn away from that. Start by confessing it and saying, yeah, I've got that big elephant in my room. I need to release that, because God sure doesn't want that there. It's not going to help me or anybody else to be able to know who he is or be a friend of his, because it's a big elephant. It's a dark one. It's not a good one. And God, who is holy, said, I want you to be with me. Well, I sure can't be holy on my own. That's for sure. My good ways do not outweigh my bad ways, nor do anything that I do. Everything I do has separated me from God. There's only one thing that can cause me to be right with God, and that is through Jesus Christ, God's only Son, who gave himself for us. He died on the cross to forgive us for our sins if we, the next step, is believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and put our faith and trust in him, asking what he did for us on the cross to cover us, just like he did in the Old Testament, told the people to put the blood over the doorsteps. And when they did that, they were able to step into this beautiful arena of freedom. When Jesus died for us, he brought us into a new arena of freedom. Freedom from slavery to sin, just like the Israelites had freedom from slavery in Egypt. He brought us freedom and life. He brought us into a holy land, a place that was set apart for the Israelites. It was a place where they wandered for 40 years because they kept sinning. They kept going away from him. They quit listening to him. But he kept drawing them to himself until those who decided that they wanted to follow him were ready to walk into the promised land. You know what? For those of us who believe in Jesus Christ today, he said, you also have a promised land. You've stepped through under the blood that was put on the doorpost of your heart. You've now stepped into freedom in Christ. And you've also received the promised land, the free gift of eternal life in heaven. Jesus said, when I go from here, I'm going to prepare a place for you, so that where I go, you will be also. Heaven, a beautiful zone, a place that is holy, prepared for us by his wonderful grace and love. And then once I've received him into my life, I've invited him to come in. He doesn't just step in unless we open the door. We need to open that door actively and say, God, I want you in my life. I'm tired of these things that I've been doing that have been opposed to you, that have kept me from the joy of freedom, that have kept me from the release of all those bonds that have held me back from your grace and your love. I want to be set free. I want to walk in your freedom. And I invite you to come in and become the Lord, the director, the head of everything that I do. I turn over my direction, my purpose, and my thoughts to you, because I know that you are going to give your wisdom to me as I put my trust in you. So I admit I'm a sinner. I confess my sins. Yeah, I repent by turning away from them and turning to God, and then I invite Jesus Christ to come into my life and give me his free gift of salvation, eternal life. And then he told me, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to put my Holy Spirit in you. Ho, ho, ho. There's more. He's not just waiting for heaven to give us something good.
Yes.
He's willing to let his Holy Spirit come into us and fill us to continue to comfort us and lead us, but also cleansing and helping us and speaking to the Father on our part. There's a relationship that is built with God through His Son, Jesus Christ, and what He did for us. But now that we've invited Him to come in, the Holy Spirit now lives in us and speaks to the Father on our behalf and tells Him things that we can't even know how to say. I don't even know how to say those things, but He said, I do. And the Holy Spirit speaks to the Father on our behalf with such great love and compassion and grace that we are absolutely brought before the Father with all of our needs and concerns in ways that are beyond our own control. When we trust Him, He does that for us. What an incredible journey. It's amazing how listening to God's voice can also bring us right into the center of His will for us.
And then we say, yes, Lord, in
yes.
a continual, continually, and we show it. We show it by our actions.
I love that song, Yes, Lord, Yes. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When the Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree. And my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. God is good.
Oh, that's good.
He
yeah.
is good when we say yes.
Yes.
That's where He begins to really work on us and begins yeah. to truly bless us like He wants to do from the beginning of time on.
The blessings are something that we hear from time to time in, well, I suppose I would call it some services that may not be especially... Oh, I don't want to be critical, but there's just too much talk about the blessings being material blessings. Mm-hmm. And while they can be material, it certainly is a spiritual relationship and blessing that I see as the most important by far.
Can I share with you something?
Please.
There is a special blessing that God gives us, which comes from our choosing to let Him be the Lord of our life.
Mm.
And that is, He gives us spiritual ears to hear. That is a blessing that goes beyond our physical ears. If you're listening to this radio broadcast on KKXX today, or you're listening to it maybe on the web, however it is, you have physical ears. You can hear what's going on. You are listening and able to tune in and be able to catch what maybe God is wanting to say to your spiritual ears as well as your physical ears. We can comprehend things because we've learned throughout our life through language that there is communication that's valuable and important. That's why I'm speaking to you. That's why John is here on Christ Today, is
yes.
because we understand the value and the power of being able to speak the truth in love. As we do that, we recognize that God is also choosing to either speak to us or not speak to us. The only reason that God wouldn't want to speak to us is if we don't want Him to speak to us. And the only way we will miss out on that incredible blessing of hearing God speak to us is because we're turning off the radio of our heart to Him. We reach over, turn down the volume, get out of the car, leave the room, whatever it might be, turn off the web as we're listening to it on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
However you're listening to it today, we also have the ability to turn off the voice of God, to walk away from Him and say, I don't want to hear this. And God said, oh, I want to share this goodness with you. But if we say no, if we walk away, He cannot speak to us.
Yeah.
Throughout the Bible, clear back in the old days, people like Adam and Eve had a rendezvous with God, and they listened to Him.
Yeah.
He was able to speak to them. There was an interpersonal relationship, even though they sinned.
Yes.
They had an interpersonal relationship with God, and He would come down and walk with them and talk with them,
yes.
and they could hear Him, and He heard them.
Yes.
Not only there, but think of Abraham. When he was out in the middle of the desert, God led him. He directed him. He spoke to him, and his life became a life of faith because he heard the blessings through the voice of God. What about Moses in front of the burning bush, barefoot on the holy ground, falling on his face? He heard God speak through a burning bush.
Yes.
It was loud and audible enough that the man Moses could literally hear his voice. It staggered him, stupefied him, but he listened and was ready to hear what God said. In the middle of that trek, in the middle of nowhere, God said, I see a voice that is able, my voice, to get through to ears that are open to me and my word. And what about others like Samuel in the middle of the night? Samuel was hearing the voice of God. He heard his name, Samuel, Samuel. And he got up and he went into the priest and he said, what do you want? He said, yes. I didn't call you. Go back and lay down.
The third
time that this happened, the priest said to him, you know what? Go back and next time say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. And when Samuel said that, God began to talk to him, a young man, very young in age, but he was listening. And God knew his willing and humble heart was able to receive the things that God had for him. God turned Samuel into an amazing man because he listened. What about Daniel? Oh, my goodness. In his dreams, everywhere he turned, he was hearing the voice of God. Why? Because he was attentive and listening, and he trusted that the God who was willing to speak to him would speak and say things that he needed to hear. Even when King Nebuchadnezzar said, hey, I want you to go and check out what this means, he said, I'll do that. But he went away and prayed with his friends and sought God together to find out what God wanted to say. Then they were able to come back and say to the king, O king, live forever. Listen, this is what God says.
Yes.
And they were able to share the truth with the king. Over and over again, God spoke to people like David. Oh my goodness, how he spoke through David. I love the Psalms because not only did God speak to David, but God spoke through David to me today. This morning in my devotions, when I got up and read Psalms 103, by the way, I'm letting you guys go and read that later if you want to. As I walked into Psalms 103 today, it was like a wealth of joy and relationship with God and blessing that was on me because it was God speaking to me through a humble man's heart who wrote those things down as God spoke to him. Now the Spirit of God speaks to my heart, even through the words that were written to David. On Wednesday nights at our church, we have a Bible study. A lot of churches have Bible studies. I have an inductive Bible study that is very inductive. And it's pretty deep. It's not just theologically deep. There's a lot of history. There's a lot of maps. I talk about a lot of different things in there. But I'm speaking about a person, Isaiah, in this Bible study who heard from God. And then he wrote down all these things God was saying to him to be able to share with others. Sometimes it was with nations. There were prophecies against nations. But in chapter 22, there were even prophecies against two individuals. God spoke through Isaiah to nations, nationally in his time, as well as to people today. I tell you what, every week we're finding out how God was speaking not only through Isaiah to his time, but to generations and generations to follow clear through our time and beyond to the end of time. God had incredible blessing by speaking into a person who is willing to listen and hear. You know what? I love to hear from God. And one of the times I heard from him was an occasion where I really wasn't following God, but he knew I was going to probably. And he wanted to speak to me.
Mm-hmm.
I went home and I felt like I wasn't really living well for the Lord. I was just kind of doing my own thing.
Some time ago.
And it was some time ago. And a part of that was I was into rock and roll.
Oh, long time
ago. And
it was a
dramatic part of my life.
Yeah.
I sang in a rock band. I participated and played saxophone in a band. And throughout our times together, we would participate in all kinds of things that were not godly.
Yeah.
But I also listened to rock and roll, and it influenced my thoughts and the patterns, my choices.
Oh, that's a
the
good,
things
yes.
that happened were things
yes.
that I was listening to.
Yes.
I was not listening to God. I was listening to these other things that were coming at me through the words and the music. I memorized the songs. Oh, my goodness. I was memorizing all the songs. I could sing right along with them on the radio, just like you do.
Yeah.
All of us have listened to songs, and we know the songs because we listen and we listen and we listen.
So long ago.
Yes.
Yes. But still, they stay with us.
And you know what? We still remember.
Indeed.
There's a powerful thing that happened in that. I think I told you about it on Tuesday, mm-hmm. where I decided to actually read my Bible one night. And as I was reading my Bible, I had headphones on.
Uh-huh.
My headphones were of a very popular rock group at that time mm-hmm. who were adamantly opposed to God. And I'm not going to name them, but you can only imagine. Their yeah. words were definitely not seeking God in any way, shape, mm-hmm. or form. They were encouraging people to make choices opposed to God, walking away from God. And here I am, laying in bed, having my quote-unquote devotions, a time where I was reading God's word and wanting to hear from him what he would say to me, but I'm listening to the words of the world. I'm listening to those things which were not of God. And as I'm reading through this, I had this heavy feeling come over me. It was a deep, dark, heavy feeling. So what did I do? I closed my Bible. I put my Bible on the side table. And then I decided, well, I'm going to turn off the music and go to sleep. So I took off my uh-huh. headphones and turned off my cassette. It was a while ago. Yes,
yes
it was a cassette. And
That's right.
I started to go to sleep, but I felt this real heavy darkness in the room.
Uh-huh.
I fell asleep, and all of a sudden I woke up. It was still dark. It was in the middle of the night, probably about 2 or 3 in the morning. And when I woke up, the heaviness of a presence in that room was so dramatic and so strong that I tried to roll out of bed. Now, at the time, I was a soccer player. I was in good shape. Mm-hmm. I thought I could do anything I wanted to do. I could jump out of bed if I wanted to. I could run down the hall if I wanted to. I could do whatever. But that night, the presence in that room was so strong, I couldn't even roll to the left or the right or get out of bed. It was like it had me pinned down to the bed, and it was a dark, heavy, evil presence. I wondered what was going on. In my mind, I was going, wow, what is this? What is going on? I can't even move. And pretty soon, as I'm trying to roll and turn, I began to pray. I said, God, help. I was communicating. I was talking. I finally was talking to God. I was beyond my own self and my own abilities, and I began to realize that only another power greater than the power that had captured me could do anything about this. And so I called out to God, and I said, help, I need your help. Several times I cried out asking, God, help me. Mm-hmm. God, take this away, whatever it is. Step in and help. And suddenly there was a break in the spiritual power, whatever it was. I flew out of bed off to the left-hand side and jumped over and turned on the light as quick as I could. My body is sweating. I'm looking around the room. What is this presence? Is there somebody here in the room? What is going on with this? And in the middle of my fear and my questions and my doubt, my obvious lack of integrity at that time, I was saying, what is it, God? What is going on? And the words were very clear. It's your music. I thought, well, right. Yeah, my music. I listen to music all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. I'm always listening to music. What do you mean my music? I had thousands of dollars worth of recordings on cassette. What do you mean my music? And he said, it's your music. And I started thinking really quickly, well, what was I listening to last? I realized the group I was listening to was definitely not following God. Their words were definitely not Christian lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself, well, how could my music, though, be in the way? I'm not doing anything like that. I'm not doing satanic ritual stuff. I'm still, you know, doing good things kind of, sort of, sometimes. And God said very clearly, it's me or the music, your choice. You can either let the music rule your life, or you can let me have charge of your life. It's up to you. Whatever you choose, that's your way. That's your path. That's what's going to take place in your life according to your choice. And in the moment, I thought for a second, what should I do? But it didn't take long to say, God, I want your way. And I jumped up and I ran over to my cassette tape player. I pushed eject and grabbed onto the cassette. As I grabbed onto the cassette, my fingers literally locked around the cassette. And I went, wow, I couldn't release it. My fingers were locked around that cassette. And I thought, my goodness, this is pretty odd. And I thought, this is so strange. I'm going to get rid of this. I felt strongly empowered to get rid of that tape. So I ran out, grabbed a hammer, went out into the back area where there was only one vehicle. There was only grass and cement on the around the back of the house there. And there was one planter. And as I ran to the back, I took and felt so strongly I needed to get rid of this tape, whatever it was. It must be something in it. So I put it down on the ground and I took the hammer and I began to smash the cassette. As I did, I looked and realized there was no tape in that cassette case. You want to think I was freaked out beforehand? No. That's when I was really freaked out. That's when I was beside myself. I couldn't believe what I was looking at. I was looking at the shell of this cassette tape, and there was no cassette tape in it.
Yeah.
And I was absolutely undone. I began picking up the pieces to throw them in a trash and had to walk around the side of the house and throw them in a trash bin and came back around. I'm looking all over. Well, the tape, thinking logically, the tape must have just rolled around here somewhere. Mm. It's got to be nearby. I looked under the car, all around the area. There was nothing, nowhere. There was no tape to be found. I finally gave up and started heading back into the house. And as I did, I looked over at this planter that was pushed up against the house. And I thought, no, it couldn't be there. It couldn't be there. I reached over and I pulled the planter away from the house. And behind the planter, down in the crack, beside the house on its side, was the cassette tape.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I knew what to do with that tape at that moment. Mm-hmm. God helped me be able to unravel that tape and spin that tape and get that tape off there. I crumpled it up and I threw it away, and I realized at that moment that God was teaching me a valuable lesson. He was speaking to me about the choices I was making, about who is Lord of my life. I had let the music be the Lord of my life and not Him. And as I went into my room, I realized I've got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars of tapes here that are definitely not of God. What am I going to do?
Yeah.
I want God to be the Lord of my life now.
Yeah.
And I began to realize that those tapes were things that needed to be exhumed from my life. And I took those tapes that night and I drove down to a local store that had a great big huge bin out in back. And I opened that bin up and I began dumping out case after case after case of tapes into it.
Yeah.
I kept the ones that spoke well of God. I kept the ones that were worship-oriented, that were people that I knew were believers. And as I got rid of those tapes, there came a freedom and a release and a peace in me that was incredible. I was standing out there in my shorts throwing all this stuff out. And yet I was experiencing peace because God had told me it's either me or those things. And as I'm doing this, I'm saying, God, I'm giving this to you because I want you to be the Lord of my life. And in the moment of that, in that moment, I had this sense of awe and wonder at how God could take such a personal thing and transform such an idiot like me, who was allowing the world to control my thoughts, my reasoning, my plans, my ideas, and turn around somebody to His way, to listen to His voice. I realized that having a relationship with God was going to be the most important thing for the rest of my life, that I was going to actually have to follow God and trust in Him. And finding and developing that relationship with God became the focus of my life. I remembered different people like Elijah, who was out walking around and looking for God. The Israelites had rejected their covenant with God and had torn down their altars and put the prophets all to death with the sword. And he said, yes, you know what? I'm the only one that's left. And now they're trying to kill me too.
That's what he thought, yeah.
And the Lord said to him, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for I am about to pass by. So he did. He obeyed God. And he went out, and a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before him. There was a big earthquake that took place. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord wasn't in the fire. He was still waiting, and after the fire came this gentle whisper. Elijah heard it because he was listening. And he pulled the cloak over his face. And he went out and he stood at the mouth of the cave where he was at, and he heard the voice of God say, what are you doing here, Elijah? Wait a minute, God, you sent me here. What do you mean, what am I doing here? He said, Lord, I've been very zealous for you. The Lord God Almighty, you. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, put the prophets to death with the sword, and I'm the only one left, and they're trying to kill me. He's repeating himself here. The Lord said, go back the way you came. Go to the desert of Damascus, and when you get there, anoint Hazael king over Aram, etc. He told him what to do, and he gave him specific direction. God was speaking to him. The blessing of all of this was that God cared enough to speak when he was in a different, desperate place, just like I had been in a desperate place. And I recognized in my desperateness that I needed God's presence in my life. It didn't end there. That was just a launching point. It didn't end with him just hearing from God. He went out and obeyed God.
Mm-hmm.
I chose to obey God and continue to listen for his voice. There were times that God spoke loud as well as soft. You know, he spoke really soft here in this situation. He didn't come in the fire. He didn't come in the earthquake. He didn't come in the powerful wind. He came in a soft, clear voice that could be heard. He also spoke in other ways. Isaiah talks about God speaking, and it sounded like a trumpet to him.
That's right.
It was incredible what God did. Yeah. In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, he said. And then as you walk down through that, as you listen to what happens, he gets down to the place where he is hearing all these things being spoken and said by the angels. And he says, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people with unclean lips. My eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Then one of the seraphim flew over to him and touched his lips with a coal from the altar. And when he did that, he said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. It wasn't until that moment, he had already confessed his sins, that God came and spoke to him. God said to him, actually, he was speaking to everybody in heaven at this moment. God said, whom shall we send? Whom shall we send? And who will go for us? And you remember the response, right? Isaiah said, here am I, send me. This sounds so much like my life and what happened to me. I raised my hand at that point of surrender, and I said, here am I, Lord, send me. And God did call me into ministry. He said back then, he said, go tell this people.
Yeah.
And then he answered him later.
Yeah.
He said to me, preach the word. Be constant in season and out of season. Convince, exhort, rebuke. Out of 2 Timothy 4. There was a change in my life, just like there was a change in Isaiah's life. I saw this transformation happen because I began to really listen to God's voice. Like I said, there were other times that God spoke, not only like a trumpet, not only a quiet, still voice, but he spoke out loud where the disciples could hear. Mm-hmm. Remember when they were at Jesus' baptism, before some of the disciples were even following him?
Yes.
They were all there, and
that's right.
And In the middle of that, at that time, Jesus came from Nazareth to Galilee. He was baptized by John in the Jordan, we know.
Yeah.
And just as he was coming up out of the water, John said, I saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit of God descending on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, you are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased.
Mm-hmm.
Well, people heard that. It was loud enough for people to be able to hear. Then later on in the Gospels, Peter, James, and John went with Jesus. This is close to the end of Jesus' life. Up onto a hill, over a mountain to pray.
Mm.
And as they were praying, the appearance of Jesus' face changed and his clothes became bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, interesting, appeared in glorious splendor talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure when he was about to, what he was about to bring to the fulfillment at Jerusalem. Then down in verse 34, it says, a cloud appeared and covered them and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. But a voice came from the cloud saying, by the way, this is the same thing that was spoken at the baptism of Jesus. This is my son whom I have chosen. Listen to him. Mm-hmm. He was speaking to the disciples at that point. He didn't have to talk to Moses and Elijah. He didn't have to talk to Jesus. He was informing them who Jesus was. God was speaking to give specific wisdom and direction to the people who are wanting to listen to him.
Mm-hmm.
So some different people are impressed by different things that they hear. And like the prophets, they chose to begin writing about it because it was so real to them. It was so powerful to them. The disciples, they had heard God's only son speak to them. They didn't want to do anything but tell others about it.
Mm-hmm.
After Jesus rose from the dead, they began to write, all of them, as God gave them wisdom and the Holy Spirit began to show them what they had missed throughout all of his ministry, all the times he had told them about his death and resurrection. They had missed it. All of a sudden, they realized these things were true and that they were real, that the things that God had spoken to them through his only son were powerful, and he had been speaking through his only son. So it was audible voice where he spoke. He didn't always have to speak in an audible voice, though.
Right.
I was just giving you examples of times where he spoke that way.
Yeah.
But he also talked to a little man named Saul. God spoke again through his son, Jesus, to a man named Saul. Was Jesus standing in front of him in person? No. Saul was blinded by a light on the road to Damascus. This is after the resurrection, and Saul was actually persecuting the Christians, wanting to kill them.
Yes.
God knew that Saul wanted to be a person following after God.
Yes.
And so Jesus came down and spoke to Saul's ears so he could hear. Now, it's true it was loud enough for the other people around Saul to be able to hear because they heard, but they didn't know what the voice was saying. So it was only understandable to Saul himself. And when he spoke, he said, what are you doing, Saul? Why are you trying to hurt me?
Mm-hmm.
Saul said, who is this?
Yeah.
When Jesus spoke to him, he began to listen. And he began to listen and realize that this was God's only son. And it changed what he did from that time on.
Yes.
When God spoke to the person that went and helped Saul's eyes to be opened to see, the priest, God spoke to his spiritual ears so that he knew to get up and go to the street called Straight, to go to that place where Saul was, so that his eyes could be opened and he could hear the truth and know that Jesus was the Christ. There are many times that God speaks to us in a quiet voice, sometimes in an audible voice.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes in loud trumpeting sounds.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of different ways that God speaks. But the only time God is speaking is when we're wanting to listen and hear. Each one of the individuals that I've spoken about, each one of the different people in the Bible that heard God speak was because they were actually going to listen.
Listen, yes.
And they were humbled enough to listen. Saul was humbled by being blinded. He actually had to be blinded to stop his own direction and way he was going. Otherwise, he would not have heard from God. God knew that it was going to take something pretty dramatic to redirect his thoughts and cause his ears to be open to hear what he had to say to him. I hope he doesn't have to do that to all of us, because right. there's a lot of times when right. God may want to be speaking to us, may be ready to say things to us, to help us, to lead us, to direct us.
Yes.
But if we choose to keep going our way without listening, he might have to do something dramatic to get our attention.
Yes.
To cause us to humble ourselves mm-hmm. before him and listen.
And listen, yeah.
I've had that happen to me. I've had times, just like I told you in that story, about him having to get my attention so that I would listen to his voice. There have been other times where I've been praying and laying on my face saying, God, speak to me. I don't know what you want me to do. I don't know where you want me to go. I'm ready, I think, but I need you to direct my paths.
Mm-hmm.
You told me to trust in you, so I'm trusting in you. Just like Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. In all your ways acknowledge him.
Yes.
And he will direct your paths, you know? And that's a part of where I had to recognize a humble heart to listen to him. Acknowledging him, oh yeah, I acknowledge him all the time, everywhere I go.
Yeah.
But the blessings that he gives me, spiritual blessings, are when he talks to me, when he shares things mm-hmm. with me. Have you ever read God's Word, the Bible? yeah. I think most of us probably listening to this today have opened God's Word, the Bible. One of the things that I find incredibly amazing is that God can speak through the words of his holy word to our hearts. And his Holy Spirit can take those very words that were spoken centuries and centuries, millennia ago, and apply them to who we are today. So even as Christ today is working in our world through his Holy Spirit, we can be listeners to his voice through his holy word, because he still speaks to us through those words. And you know what I do when I'm reading God's Word? I listen for a little prompter in my heart that points out and causes me to go back and read something again, go back and read something again, go back and listen and hear again something that God is trying to say to me. And even this morning in my devotions, I heard something from him as he spoke to me. And it was incredible how he stopped me from reading right where he wanted me to listen. In the middle of my devotions, I was thinking I'm going to read an entire chapter here, but he stopped me before I got to the end of the chapter because he wanted me to recognize something that was very important to me today. And he knew that I would be able to choose to listen in those quiet moments with him. And as I did, he spoke very loudly. Even though it wasn't an audible voice, my spirit was drawn close to that truth that he pointed out and began to impress on my mind, my thoughts, and my heart. It was an incredible sense of what he does on a regular basis. That's not the only time he's done it. He does it all the time. But that was one time, just as an example, this morning, that he was impressing truth on me, stopped me in the middle of my reading because I was seeking him.
Mm-hmm.
In the middle of my worship is usually the time when he talks to me the most. When I am literally worshiping and praising him, when I'm literally on my face before him, calling out to him, maybe I'm dancing around the sanctuary, or maybe I'm driving down the street in my car. Maybe I'm laying on the bed, or maybe I'm just in the middle of my shower and I'm praying and worshiping him. Wherever it is, God knows when to catch us when he has something to say to us and speak to our hearts. I remember one of the last times, not last times, but one of the times most recently where he spoke to me. I was literally in the shower. And he began speaking to my mind and my heart. And I stopped showering just to listen. I just kept listening to what he was having to say. And I said the same words that Isaiah said, speak, Lord, for your servant heareth. Speak, Lord. I am ready to hear from you. And then I shut up. You know, a lot of times that's one of the reasons why I think sometimes people don't hear God speak. They don't have the blessing of listening.
Yeah.
There's a blessing to listening. And if you're not listening, how are you ever going to hear? Oh my goodness. How are we ever going to hear if we refuse to listen? If we keep going our way, keep doing our thing, we've got a project, we've got a direction, we've got things that we think are valuable and important, we're going that way. Why don't we ever stop, quietly listen, and pay attention so that we can hear God speak? I think one of the most important things I've learned in life is shutting up. Mm-hmm. People say, what do you mean, Pastor? Shut up. Mm-hmm. Well, that's exactly what I mean. Sometimes we just pray and pray. We give him all of our requests. We give him all of our thoughts, and then we leave our place of prayer. It's all about what we want to get across to him, not willing to listen to what he wants to get across to us.
Yes.
And as I've begun to receive more and more throughout my life from him, I realize the value of shutting up and listening, purposefully listening, letting my heart be so aware of his presence in my worship and praise that I am able to listen and hear his voice. The most precious and personal and powerful times are happening when I shut up. There's a power to listening to God's voice that comes because God encounters our spiritual ears. And if you've never felt that God was ever talking to you, shut up. Worship him. Listen to him. Quit talking. Quit filling the space with your words. Just be quiet and listen. He will speak. Sometimes people will say, his 10 seconds are up. I'm out of here. I got things to do, places to go, people to meet, projects to accomplish. Come on, God, you can work my 10 seconds. Get with it. Let's go. Come on. The truth is, he's saying, why don't you respect me enough to sit down at the table with me and eat with me and fellowship with me and listen to me? Jesus had all those 3 years with his disciples. They learned a whole lot when they really listened to Jesus speak. All the parables, all the teachings, all the things that he spoke to them had power and authority and truth written all over them. Mm-hmm. He never lied. He never distracted people. He pointed people to the truth all the time. And as the disciples listened, later on, the Holy Spirit brought back to their memories the things that he said so they could write them down for you and me to hear. And again, his Holy Spirit is going to speak. Again, he's going to draw us close to himself. Just like he did with Abraham, just like he did with Moses, just like we did with the prophets, just like he's done through priests and pastors, through kings and through leaders and through quiet, humble servants willing to listen. I hope that you will be impressed and moved upon, so much so that you'll want to write about it when God talks to you. Maybe you'll want to tell your friends about it and say, you know what? God was talking to me yesterday. It was incredible what he said. This is what he said, and begin to talk to him about it. See how what you heard was in line with God's word. Compare it to God's word and see, well, does this fit with what he said before? Yes. And he will teach you, and he will lead you, and he will prompt you, and he will draw you to himself if you let him and invite him in. That goes clear back to the beginning of a relationship with God. You invite him in to begin a relationship with him. If you want that relationship to continue, you welcome him in every day. You enter that quiet place, that holy place, that set-apart place and time. You might have to get up earlier. You might have to stay up later. You might have to just go and find a closet or a quiet space. You might have to go get in your car and close the door, turn off the radio. You might have to find a special place that will be a holy place where he can join you. And I hope you will choose to do that even on a Sabbath.
Yes.
Even on a day of worship, you will close out other things to listen to his voice. Yeah. oh, you know what? God speaks to me also through other people. Mm-hmm. God's spoken to me through you, John. He's spoken to me through all different kinds of things that we have done and said together. Mm-hmm. He's spoken to me through friends. He's spoken to me through family members. He's spoken to me through other pastors and other people who are listening to God's word, and we're sharing together. He does speak if we're listening for his voice. And if we take those things and we begin to apply them in our lives and begin to obey the things he's pointing out by getting rid of them or enjoying them, depending on what he's pointing out, he may say, I've got so much more for you. What have you been waiting for? Come on. I've got more for you today than you've ever had before. You want to join me today? I've got the table set for dinner. Come and join me. Come on. Yes. Sit down and listen to me and enjoy my presence. I want to enjoy your presence. Can you believe God would actually enjoy your presence? You know what? He will. If the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed you, you have been made righteous, and he will draw you close to himself because he wants to be in a relationship with you. Aren't you thankful for that?
I am. He has. The scripture tells me he has called us friend.
Yes, absolutely. Wow. That's a powerful transformation from what I was before.
Oh, it's such a...
I was not a friend of his.
Yes.
I was a friend of the world.
It's just a powerful, powerful thing to say. Mm-hmm. Friend, can you imagine the
friend
Lord
of
the universe, Jesus Christ,
Creator of
saying
all.
He would like to call us friend. Wow.
Brothers.
Yes.
Even closer. Wow.
Very good.
Very close. Wow. We're sons of God.
Yes.
Through Christ Jesus.
That's right.
That's an incredible, incredible thing when we're in that kind of relationship with him.
Incredible, yes.
Absolutely. So I'll always ask these things. How will you pursue God and listen for his voice this week?
With thanks, praise, and worship. Oh, what did you have as...
No, that's good. Okay. That's a part of the answer. I mean, people who are listening today might be thinking about all different kinds of things. How will I do it? And I'm going to ask that question because wherever you are and you're listening to this broadcast right now today, whether it's on the web or in your car or in your home, wherever you are and you're listening to this broadcast, I want you to consider this. How, not will you, how will you pursue God and listen for his voice today? If you're listening to this broadcast and you know it's called Christ Today, how will you pursue him and listen for his voice today? Answer that question to yourself right now. How am I going to pursue God today and listen for his voice to me? Don't be too busy for him. I tell you what, you will be so glad you stopped and listened when he speaks to you. Don't be too busy for him, even on your day of worship. Don't be too busy for him and say, I've got my hour in church, time for me to go to lunch, I'm done with God. Don't go there. God wants you to set apart the whole day to be with him. He wants a relationship with you. It is not just a momentary thing. It's not a 5 minutes in the morning and 5 minutes at night where you say, oh God, bless my family, bless me today, amen. He wants a relationship with you, and that means stopping, listening, and spending time with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You have so much to gain, and you have a lot to lose by refusing to listen. I encourage you today, even right here on this show, right now during this time, to pray and say, God, will you please help me? I need your help to not be so busy that I leave you out of my life. Help me to learn to listen humbly, quietly, in honor of you. May my words be quieted so that you can speak to my heart every day. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for doing that to me.
That's wonderful.
Praise the Lord.
I am so happy to get this this discussion, all these things, it's what we all need to hear. There's nothing more important than a relationship with mm-hmm. the God of the universe,
Amen.
Jesus, Heavenly Father, and the Holy Spirit. And we say, yes, Lord. And then find out how we can do His will. That's the obedience that
comes once we listen.
Very good.
Mm-hmm. We have to listen if we're going to be obedient.
That's right.
Right? Listening comes first. We
listening.
Have to invite Him in
yes.
so that we can listen.
Yes.
And then we can do. Then we can go. Then we can see. Then we can understand. Then we can perceive. Then when we can be a part of God's kingdom. Then we can enjoy His purposes. Then we can be a part of what He wants to do among us and be able to say, Lord, I can hardly wait to see what You're going to do next.
Oh, that's so true.
Yeah.
He is full of the things, the what goes on in life is beyond what we can understand or plan when He's in charge, because He does things which gratifies
Himself as well as us.
It is for His glory.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get to share in the understanding
Absolutely.
Of it.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this is wonderful.
I love walking with Him. Thank you for having me on this program today, John.
It has been
I bless you today.
So wonderful. And
this
is important for every one of us to hear, how we can interact and listen to the Creator of us and the universe,
mm-hmm.
our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Pastor Lloyd Tremaine. It is wonderful to be able to have you speaking to us over the radio today. Thank you so very much. Would you just say where your church is located so that anyone who can come and visit you is able to?
Sure. It's the Paradise Church of the Nazarene. It's on the corner of Skyway and Neal Roads in Paradise. And it's the first light. If you're coming from Chico, it's the first light up the hill and on your right-hand side. But it's right where the sign coming into Paradise says, Welcome to Paradise. I said, boy, that's about the best location you could ever have. And so we're right there at the corner of Skyway and Neal. And you can sure come and join us on Sunday mornings. We have Sunday school at 9:30 and worship service at 10:45. If you'd like to go onto our website, you can go on and find us there at www.paradisenazarene.com. Pretty simple and straightforward, I hope. And we look forward to, if you'd like to come and join us and to be able to celebrate God's presence right there in church with us together.
Celebrate.
That's right.
Amen. And thank you, everyone who's listening. We are so glad to have you hear this message. And God bless you. And please tune in next week to Christ Today. Thank you.